WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. It is Wednesday here in The Opening Bell. The acting president of the United Auto Workers Union says the current scandal feels like a personal betrayal. Rory Gamble says his main goal at the helm of the union is to get things cleaned up and turned over to a successor as a clean and uncorrupted UAW. Jones and several other top leaders are under investigation for embezzlement through the last years. Jones has not been charged as of yet. Gamble says he had a condition when he took over that the UAW board let him make difficult changes to accounting and financial control. Joining us this morning to talk a little bit about this is Dale Buss. He's a contributor at Forbes, chief executive magazine in the Wall Street Journal. Dale, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning. Thanks, Steve.
I'm referring there to Gary Jones, the United Auto Workers president, who's now on leave. This all has put a real bitter taste in the mouths of some members of the UAW, even though they've just settled a contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's very sad. This is a I covered the UAW and labor relations for the Wall Street Journal back in the day, so I got to know some of the leaders of the union who were, you know, legendary figures, among them Doug Frazier, who was the president in the 80s. And this turn of events with Gary Jones has got to be making him roll over in its grave, because for all the things that critics would say about the UAW, about, for example, how over the years their demands for high compensation for their members, you know, help make the big three automakers uncompetitive and, you know, ultimately help lead to the bankruptcies at GM and Chrysler. You can make that criticism, but one thing you can never say about the UAW is that it was corrupt. And Gary Jones allegedly, and many other, you know, several other top leaders of the union have just busted that legacy all to pieces. And so when you look at the details, much of which have been reported by the Detroit News, of what the federal investigators are looking at, is just, it's really gross abuse of power. I mean, there was a raid on Gary Jones's house in August while these negotiations were going on with GM, where apparently he had $32,000 in cash stashed there. And, you know, FBI guys were counting the money outside his house after they went in to get it. He's potentially accused of being a part of a $1.5 million embezzlement scheme. And that's all on top of spending UAW members' due money, some of the officials did, on, you know, high living out in California when they were out there for a convention, going to expensive golf courses, buying really pricey booze. It's just all kind of a mess. So it really throws this GM strike and what might have been accomplished through it into a whole different light, both in general and for UAW members who are paying a couple of hours a month in dues to the union.
Yeah, and part of the allegations here, and again, Jones has not been charged yet, but that's likely coming, is the embezzlement of nearly $700,000 in member dues. The feds have made a case against his one to top aide, and so what are we waiting for in terms of potential charges against Jones?
Well, given the scenario that I just described, I mean, he seems to have been, you know, sometimes top leaders in any kind of organization, whether it's political or business or whatever, will try to insulate themselves, plausible deniability, that kind of thing. But it doesn't look like that's something that Jones allegedly has done in this case. It looks like, according to the reporting so far anyway, that he's just knee-deep in this whole thing. So, you know, very significant charges, prison time, all that stuff looks to be in the cards. And again, this is a union where you could argue, wow, Jones just led this epic strike against General Motors in 6 weeks, and it cost the company $3 billion, and look at all the stuff the union got. Well, there are three problems with that. One is now UAW leadership, or UAW rank-and-file members, know that their leadership is apparently corrupt. That's not good for the future. Number two, the UAW members know that even after 6 weeks off the job, they just didn't get much more than what GM initially offered toward the end of negotiations. The CEO of GM, Mary Barra, was very clever in kind of laying out, okay, here's what we're going to give you. 6 weeks later, after a lot of disruption in their lives and everything else, they didn't get a whole lot more than what GM was offering in mid-September. And the third thing is, after all of this, GM was able to maintain its key objective in these talks, which is to maintain labor flexibility. They're still closing the three plants that Mary Barra decided to close. And in the future, they still have flexibility to perhaps close other plants as labor demands decline in this new era of the electric vehicle. So this is a high water mark in a lot of ways for the UAW for the foreseeable future. And there's a big mess ahead as this investigation continues.
How does the union clean it up? Does this come from the bottom up or can it be fixed? How long will it take to be fixed?
This is going to be a stain and a problem for the UAW for years to come because given that there were a number of key figures involved, I mean, they are also investigating the previous president of the union, Dennis Williams. UAW members are right to wonder, well, how deep does this go? You know, how much can we trust, you know, anybody who comes from the current regime? So I'm not sure how you clean that up. There's a long and orderly system of people rising through the union, through regional leadership, after proving themselves at the local level. I suspect it could be the kind of thing where a reform candidate kind of arises from some local union around the country, somewhere in the country, and says, you know, I'm the only person who can clean this up. So there may be, you know, a lot of other changes in top leadership still to come. And the other thing that's looming over the UAW in this is that now, over the last several years, Michigan and Indiana, other key UAW states have become right-to-work states. So that means that potentially if the UAW can't prove to members that it's clean, that it's not corrupt, and that it can really deliver benefits to them, they're just going to walk away. I mean, there could be significant attrition in UAW membership in the months and years to come because now legally, you know, people can walk away. They can say, I don't need the UAW, and I don't want to be a member. I'm not proud of it anymore.
Yeah, that's a possibility, but what do you think the likelihood of that really is? I mean, these members know that the UAW does do something for them that they wouldn't be able to do on their own.
Right, but here's the thing. The thing about not being a UAW member has always been, well, you can't, you know, it's solidarity. That's the UAW motto. I mean, right, look what the union has done for you. But somebody can turn around and say maybe they're not especially fond of the idea of a union anyway, and they can say, why do I want to be a member of this kind of organization? What is it doing for me? Look at its reputation. Yeah, I'm getting some benefits, but there is going to be some leakage because of this, no doubt.
Yeah, let's talk about Ford settled this their contract pretty quickly with UAW. They saw what happened at General Motors and did that pretty quickly. Was that contract any better, or was it the same template as the GM contract?
It was the same template. I mean, there are a few tweaks here and there, but at Ford, the UAW and the company had been working on their contract all the while the GM strike was going on, so they were ready for this. And, you know, the decision made by the brain trust at Ford was, okay, we think we can live with basically the same template that GM got. And meanwhile, you know, we save several billion dollars in profits that GM had to give up by not taking a strike. So, I mean, this is a pretty typical development in labor talks. The second and third companies, you know, typically have a much easier time because they've had a while to look at the deal that the first company got. So, that's what's happened at Ford, and right now negotiations are going on with Fiat Chrysler, and the situation is a little different there because Fiat Chrysler has more temporary and lower-paid workers than GM and Ford do, and so the labor cost hit on Fiat Chrysler might be a little bit worse relatively than at GM and Ford, but it's still expected that they'll reach a deal without too much of a problem.
Back to the question of federal charges being filed against Gary Jones. There's some speculation that they're waiting for all these contracts to be done before they actually do that.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, clearly there are some more shoes to drop, if you will. And, you know, unfortunately for the union and for the industry, this investigation is something that's been going on for a couple of years now, at least, and started with a training fund at Fiat Chrysler. And some people have already been indicted, going to jail. You know, it's going to get worse looking before it gets better. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Dale, we appreciate you being on with us this morning. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks,
all right,
Steve.
Take care. Dale Buss, a contributor at Forbes, Wall Street Journal, Chief Executive Magazine, joining us from Michigan this morning.